appreciate you, Pastor, and for inviting us, and Sister Marcia for playing for us. Y'all know how blessed you are to have this quality of ministry, Pastor, in this church. You ought to. If you don't, travel with us sometime. Never mind. Well, it's been a... Singing is out of the question after you've been off for this many months. And the outside and all them allergies and cutting grass and weed eating. And Sister Huff, how are you? Good to see you. Well, the girls just, you know, breaking out like I'm glad to be out anywhere. I have noticed, Brother Jarvis, that this suit don't fit like it used to. Three months of them stretchy things, you know. You get a rude awakening, don't you? Well, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, sis had to buy me back from the dog catchers about three times. Finally, the barbershop opened up. You know, I had a couple, well, it's about three of them suicide haircuts. That's self-inflicted. It's kind of hard to do that, you know. It looked about like that. But you can't wear a hat everywhere you go, but I tried. Wore ones long, you know, that even when you don't have one, you come in church, even when you don't have one on, you're reaching up here. You just know it's there. Well, you can't hide ugly. It'll go with you anywhere. Can't fix that either. You can't fix stupid either. Seen a lot of that lately. But I don't have anything but a simple sermon for you tonight, and I hope it'll be a help to somebody. We need, more than anything else in this world, more faith in a God that loves us more than anything else in this world. He has never changed, even though our perception of Him has. Our thoughts of Him has changed. We put Him in a different era of time of what used to be. I don't ever like to keep giving reports of what God used to do when He's the same God tonight available at this church in this building as He was in the days when we look back on those things. The only thing different is our lack of faith to believe that He is able to do anything that we are able to ask or even think. But as long as we got that card in our pocket that says Blue Cross and Blue Shield, as long as Jackie Maxey's over here and will prescribe me pills, we seem like that we don't trust Him near as much as we used to. If we can find it in a pill and if we can find it in a shot, we won't even bother God with it. I told Him the other day, some folks, I said, God, you give me 5 minutes in the flesh, I can handle this problem. He wouldn't let me do it. I wanted to awful bad, though, but I got over that in a hurry. I'd rather be whipped anybody than God. You know what I mean? Oh, no, you ain't been whipped. You've been whipped by God. What I'm trying to get a point across is the same God that has been from the beginning of this world, breathed it into existence, the Holy Spirit moved and created it all and sustained it through all of these years and years and years, is still on the throne. Everything is still operating as He planned. There's nothing in that air that He don't have a filter for, folks. There's no ozone been burned up too big that God cannot repair what He created. And when He gets tired of fooling with us, He's going to take the church out of here and let the rest of them have it. So I ain't worried either way. But it's a good thing to know that we still have somewhere to go and someone to turn to. You got a Bible, the book of Isaiah's Gospel, chapter 53 and verse 1 through 5. Isaiah 53 and 1 through 5. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground, He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should even desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid ourselves, our faces from him. He was despised and esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. This is the verse hang on to. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we could be, used to be, we are healed. We are healed. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, and verse 18, Jesus stood up and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Isaiah talked about the guy that was coming. This is him. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." Little thought tonight, no matter, it won't be too terribly long. It is a song out a few years ago that we latched on. You latch on to things when you need it. And the song said, "There's a miracle coming down your dusty road. There's a miracle coming down your dusty road." Many people in the Bible, just some stories, many people in the Bible were in desperate need, unlike us that are here today, when we need something more than a doctor's help, something more than a psychiatrist's help, something more than a friendly neighbor's cup of chicken soup. We need something to get us from where we are in an almost unsolvable problem into something else. Bartimaeus was one that sat by the wayside blind. They brought him there and laid him there to beg alms because he was blind. He didn't want to be blind. It was just the problem that he was in. It was the problem of society that had brought it upon him. He had rather be something else than to be in the condition he was in. One day, he was sitting on the side of the road begging alms, and somebody told him, "There is a miracle worker coming down your dusty road." To get his attention, he didn't sit idly by. He cried, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And from that moment, the attention of that man coming down a dusty road stopped and brought deliverance unto his life. I'm telling you, there's a miracle coming down your dusty road. Zacchaeus was a man that thought wealth would bring it all. He thought prosperity would bring it all. He had money, he had position, but he was empty on the inside. Many of the millionaire tonight would give anything to be able to stand here and sing peace, peace, wonderful peace, but it has eluded them because peace does not come in the form of a dollar bill, of stocks and bonds and cars and houses. It does not come. Zacchaeus said, "I've got to find out what's going on. Them people that's got nothing, I've robbed from them, I've took from them, and they're excited. I've got to see what's going on." He had no idea that coming down that dusty road was a miracle that would change his entire life. There's one, folks, coming down your dusty road. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jairus had a daughter that was dying. She was dying. He said, "The only thing I know to do, I've got to get..." He was an official, you know, didn't want to be seen. Most of them didn't. But when you get desperate, you don't care who knows it. Amazing how many people don't like Pentecost until they get sick. And then they want to call you. "Will you come pray for me?" May not like you at all, But when they really get in need, they want somebody that knows how to ring the prayer bells of heaven. Hallelujah. They want somebody that's been on their knees. Somebody knows how to fast. Somebody knows how to pray. Jairus said, I've got to find that man. It wasn't always just for the lady, but it was for his benefit. There was Jesus going down the dusty road. In one place in the Old Testament, he said a man would arise with healing in his wings. Those old garments that they wore, the outer skirts of them, were sometimes called wings, as they would flop when they walked. Underneath that wing was a blue ribbon that was sewn into the hemline to remind them, you've been bought by a price. You are not your own. You are God's people. You're a chosen people. And underneath that, there was tassels of promises that God had made to the children of Israel. And they tied a tassel on that. This woman said one day she'd spent all she had on doctors and rather grew worse. She had no answer. But one day coming down a dusty road was a man with healing in the wings. She said, if I could only touch the blue ribbon of that garment, if I could only grab a hold of one tassel of promise, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. If I can claim one of them, I know I'd be healed. Jairus is standing there watching. All of a sudden, Jesus jumped back. He said, who touched me? Paul said, Peter said, boy, there must have been 1,000 people that he said, oh no, this is a different touch. There's a lot of people come to church and bump elbows, and with the religiosity of the day, a lot of people are religious, their name's on the book, but oh, you can touch him tonight. His virtue is never limited. It did not deplete him at all. When this woman touched him, Jairus' faith began to rise. Hallelujah. She left there after she met that man coming down a dusty road. God has a miracle for you coming down that dusty road. There was 10 lepers one day. I told you this Bible stories. 10 lepers one day was sitting by the wayside. Jesus was out of his way. Going down the road, coming down that dusty road. 10 lepers over there from afar off. Oh, we're lepers. Have mercy on us. Jesus never laid hands on them, never throwed a bottle of oil on them, never cast a spell on them. He said, just go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, one step by faith at a time, the man said it, it's got to be true. The man coming down that dusty road told me, go show yourself. When you showed yourself to the priest, it was for the reason of him giving you a clear bill of health that you could go back in society and go back with your family and go back into the synagogue and go back into the church. It was a cure for all. As they went, they were made whole because that man coming down that dusty road said, go show yourself to the priest. After a while, here come one of them who was of a different nationality. He was a heathen. He didn't have any priest to go to. He didn't have nobody to go show himself to. He come back and told him, bowed down to him. Jesus told him, said, where's the rest of them at? I thought there was more than this crowd. And just one of you. He said, thy faith has made you whole. There's a difference in being cured and made whole. There's a lot of people got good health, but they're not whole. A lot of people have pretty good health, but they're physically, emotionally disturbed. This man, after turning back to the only priest he knew, after kneeling at the only man that could ever give him a clear bill of health, this man knelt and Jesus said, thou art made whole. Hallelujah. 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 How bad do we want a miracle? How bad do we want a miracle? There was a little lady showed up at the king's door one day and she said, I need avenged of my enemies. They bothered me. I'm troubled. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I've tried everything in the world and it ain't working. He said, don't bother me. I'm paraphrasing. This is Wooten edition. That's the whooping cough. You know, that's what Wootens are, is whooping. You get that later. But come before him, said, they bothering me. He said, woman, don't bother me. Get on out of here. She come back the next day. Hey, king, oh, would you avenge me, my adversaries? They out here, they bothering me. I'm upset. I can't sleep at night. I got trouble. Some of y'all in that same shape now. I got troubles. I got problems. I don't know what to do. You know, sometimes you can see boogers behind every door. You know what I mean? Everything turned around. You see something coming at you. Oh, we look at the bad side of everything. We want to see the horrible side of everything. Oh, avenge me of my enemies. She kept coming. One day that king looked down at his servant and said, you avenge that woman. I'm not scared of her and I'm not afraid of God. But if I don't do something for her, she's going to drive me crazy. You take care of her problem. I can tell you, folks, it's not he that speaks a word and walks away. It's he that knocks on that door until that door is open. It's the persistency of never giving up on prayer. This modern generation will tell you, just speak the word and it'll happen. Just say it and that's it. I'm going to tell you, many of a godly mom and dad stayed on their knees until the windows of heaven opened. And that boy got saved. And that girl got saved. We talked to a doctor the other day. Naomi did. Tell him that I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, in the children's hospital with polio. Everybody in that ward died. They had one little window just like that in that door. That little white-haired mama of mine looked through that window every day and prayed, God, heal my boy. Only boy I got, my baby boy. God, heal that boy. Every day she looked in that window, quarantined. Couldn't get inside that door. But I want to tell you, prayer knows no barriers. Prayer knows no barriers at all. Between quarantine doors, that prayer got a, it was not a one-time deal. It was he that knocketh on that door. He said, I'll hear and I'll open that door to you. She left because of persistency. She wanted it bad enough to get in there. Many, many, many years ago, there was a dad well up in years, way beyond times he ever had, should have a kid. So would his wife. But God promised Abraham and Sarah a baby. He hadn't stuck to that promise. They got a little ahead of God, messed his program up. If you ain't careful, you do the same thing. Those that wait on the Lord, he'll renew your strength. Mount up with wings and eagles, you'll get to run. Be weary and walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. You get ahead of God, there'll be a curse sometimes laid on your door. Just wooting right there. You know what I'm saying? They got ahead of God, got out of the program of the Lord, got tired of waiting. Finally, the Lord looked at you and said, better you think anything too hard for God? Ain't nothing too hard for me. God blessed them with a baby boy that Sarah could call her own. One day God wanted to see whether that boy meant more to him than God did. He said, all right, Abraham, you take that boy and you go up to that mountain already picked out, you see. God already knew where that one was. Same place that cross was when the sacrifice was offered for me and you. Here he went up there and offered that sacrifice, was going to. Isaac said, Dad, I've been here with you several times now. I see you brought the wood and brought the fire. We've been here together. I've seen you do this trick before. Now he said, I just don't see a sacrifice. Abraham knew if he took that boy's life, God would raise him up because he's a seed of promise. But the boy didn't know it. And the other thing, what am I going to tell Sarah when I get home? I just killed her only boy. What am I going to tell Mama? He didn't have no fear of that. We'd cook that boy. Just obedience, folks, is better than sacrifice. Trying to help you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Let him up there, laid him on the altar, and all of a sudden get ready. He wasn't withholding nothing back. He was giving God everything he had. You want something from God, you get in this altar, you give him everything you got. God, I'll give you my time. I'll give you my energy. I'll give you my billfold. I'll give you everything I've got. I'm laying it all on this altar. I don't need anything more than I need you, God. When you get everything out of the way and it's just between you and him, there's a miracle coming down your dusty road. Hallelujah. When he offered everything he had, that angel of the Lord said, "I'm going to do that boy no harm. There's a ram stuck right there in the bush." I'm going to tell you something tonight, folks. God has a ram, your ram, in a bush. If you're looking for it, there's an answer to your problem in that bush. There's a ram stuck in that thicket. All you got to do is give it all to God and allow him to reveal the sacrifice that needs to be made, which is the answer to everything that you will ever need. Hallelujah. 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 There was an old boy, said the last one. There was an old boy set up in the old days. He was sitting there at the end of the Old Testament era time. And he saw all the wickedness that was going on. He saw all that was prevailing that claimed itself to be religious that wasn't. He saw in the house of God things that supposed to have been religious and it wasn't. They were playing games. They was going through the motion. I don't mean to throw this in, but they were doing the trauma team. That's what I call them. Trauma gives me trauma. He saw things in there that wasn't right. Went to the Lord and he said, "Lord, how long? How long am I going to have to cry? How long am I going to have to weep? How long am I going to have to see your hand stayed? How long am I going to have to see no move of you in this world today?" And the Lord looked at him and told him, said, "Son, I'm going to do a work in your day that if I told you, you wouldn't even believe it. But I'm going to do a work. I'm in." You can look around you, folks, and say, "I don't see God." I'm going to tell you, you don't see him, but he's still got a work, and it's going on right now in the undercurrent of all of this that's going on. You can even look at a very pool of water that looks so calm on top, but there's an undercurrent working underneath all of that. When you think you've got peace, you might well hang on. Something may come around, but God has got something going on. He said, "I'm going to do the only thing a man of God can do. I'm going to get into my prayer tower. I'm going to sit right there and I'm going to listen to what he's got for me to do. And when he does, I'm going to move." Remember that old song? "You got to move. You got to move when the Lord gets ready. You got to move. You may be high and you may be low, you may be rich, and you may be poor, but when the Lord, he's already ready, it's time to move, time to move." Hallelujah, hallelujah. That old boy sat there, let me read that, that's worth reading. That old boy sat on there, he got over there and got to thinking about what the man said. "I don't see it, but he's working. I don't see it, but he's working." Only the man looking for it saw that cloud. "I don't see it, but he said he's going to do it. I believe him." He said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, fields shall yield no meat, flocks shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet," hallelujah, "I saw the man coming down the dusty road, yet I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it, because the promises of the Lord are yea and amen. If the economy fails tomorrow, if I'm broke tomorrow, I will rejoice in the promise. He said he's working, and he's working all things for my good." Would you stand? Hallelujah. I don't know what you need tonight. There's a miracle coming down your dusty road. If you can believe it tonight, you can receive it. God is not slack concerning His promises, long-suffering towards us. The words He promised is still yea and amen. At this altar here tonight, you can leave with your miracle. He's already promised it. Stand on it. It's coming down your dusty road. Hallelujah. Come on, sister, my father, in the name of Jesus. There's some here tonight, Lord, dealing with things that if they don't give it to you, it'll destroy them. There's things, God, that people deal with that if they don't turn them over to you, it'll wreck their mind, it'll wreck their health, it'll wreck their nerves. I pray, God, right now this evening, increase our faith to realize you are working on our behalf. Give us faith, God, to step out and say, I'm claiming my miracle. Coming down that dusty road in the lovely name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, folks. Whatever you need tonight, nobody's going to beg you. This altar's open. You need a miracle. God's got it for you, and it's right here, right now. Hallelujah. Come on.